Good morning. We're going to start with a fill in the blank this morning. Fill in the blank. If only blank, then I would be happier. How would you fill in that blank this morning? For what does your heart crave? What does your heart long for right now? What is consuming your time and your energy and your resources that only you could have it? Bruce Springsteen sang, "Everybody's got a hungry heart." So what are you hungering and thirsting for today? Today we're going to continue with Pastor Jeff's series on the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Jeff has done a phenomenal job unpacking those first three Beatitudes. And today we're going to look at the fourth Beatitude found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful that your words are recorded in Scripture so that we could meditate upon them, so we could engage fully with them, so we could live them. Thank you, Jesus. That is our earnest desire today. So we open our hearts wide. We want to receive from you, and we want to live as you have taught us to. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. What's really interesting about this little beatitude, these 14 words right here that we just read, they take a very logical place in the order of the Beatitudes. They follow very, very sequentially from the previous ones and lead to the remaining. It's an important hinge. It's a very, very important transition. So just by way of reminder, let's look at those first three Beatitudes this morning. The first one, we have been told to be poor in spirit, acknowledging our complete and utter spiritual depravity, our spiritual bankruptcy before God. And secondly, we are to mourn over the cause of that, our own sin and the reign of sin and death in the world. And then thirdly, we are to be meek, humble, and gentle toward others, allowing our spiritual poverty to condition our response toward God and toward others. I know that I am a broken person. I am broken by sin, and you are too. And so my brokenness compels me to respond graciously and with patience and with humility and with a sincere gentleness to the brokenness in you. And now here in this fourth beatitude, we find the answer to all of this. The first three caused us to look inside and to examine ourselves. And here we begin to see a solution. We see a slight change in the emphasis. We've acknowledged our helplessness and our weakness, our utter poverty of spirit. We see our sin. It stares us in the face, and we own it, and it breaks our hearts. And that, friends, is the very thing then that catapults us to hunger and to thirst for righteousness. For what really is the use of all the mourning and the confessing if we just stop there? What a forlorn and depressing people we are. Oh, but there's good news here. Genuine confession of sin leads to a hunger for righteousness. When you begin to hate your sin, when you begin to look at your choices and you hate them, and you hate their effects on you and their effects on others, friends, that is the turning point that compels you then to hunger for God. And so here in this little beatitude, we find a great deal of hope. What does righteousness mean here? What does it mean here? Well, first of all, let's look at what it's not. What it's not. It's not rule keeping. Oh, if I just do everything right. Oh, God will be so pleased. He'll be so impressed. And I apologize to all the high achievers in the room today. No, it's not about keeping rules. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount, it's not more rules for us to keep so we can attain righteousness. In fact, we have to look at Matthew 5:20 for further clarification. Scripture, interpreting scripture. Matthew 5:20, Jesus says that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Okay, those guys were really good rule keepers, very astute at keeping all kinds of intricate rules and regulations, following all kinds of precepts and traditions, kind of like wearing cheap perfume to make one smell good. It can't cover the odor underneath permanently. True righteousness starts with a change of heart. Just like that new song that we sang today, the worship team led us, Lord, help me to love you from the inside out. Note that Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who are righteous. That's good news for you if you're not feeling so righteous today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so be careful if you think you already possess it. For you very well then may be on the verge of self-righteousness. Friends, the message of the gospel is not, you've got a long way to go, friends. You better crack the whip and get working. That is hardly good news. But rather, the message is, you can't make yourself righteous enough for heaven. But if you will hunger and thirst for the righteousness that God gives, you can be changed from the inside out. And that is really good news. Righteousness always starts with God and not with us. The fourth beatitude really makes sense when we've taken the first three to heart. The hunger and the thirst then of which Jesus speaks begins with a desire for God himself. God, I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. And I need you. So bottom line, righteousness is not rule keeping. It's not something I can attain. So what is it? What did Jesus mean here? And if you crack open any number of commentaries, you're going to find opinions all over the map. Some will say that it's right living. It's right living. Others will say that it's a social righteousness, more like a social justice. But I think if we read this in light of the entirety of Scripture, and particularly in context here, following the first three Beatitudes, it makes sense that righteousness is right relatedness with God. It's a restored relationship with your Creator. Having realized what it means to be poor in spirit and to mourn over our sin, we then hunger and long to be restored in friendship, in fellowship, in relationship with God Himself. We realize it is what we have been missing all along. Our sin and our rebellion have separated us from God, and we long to be restored to Him. So to put it positively, it's a desire to be right with God, to know Him, to have intimacy with Him. It was lost, it was broken, but now through Jesus, it can be restored. And so do you see, this fourth beatitude is really good news for us. In it, we find the gospel, the good news, that though we are broken and we mourn over our brokenness, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. You will be filled. You never have to wonder, will God take me back? The answer is wholeheartedly and emphatically yes, for nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those who want righteousness can have it. Do you see all the joy and the promise that's packed up in these 14 little words? And then from that, friends, when that inward change begins to happen, there's something then that can't help but overflow into the world around us. When we have that right relationship with God, then righteousness also develops into a right relatedness with others. A right relatedness with others. As we read the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we realize that the word righteousness has a vertical and a horizontal aspect. In fact, later in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so as we look then at that broader setting of righteousness in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we find out that this kind of righteousness really matters to Jesus. In fact, if you've got your copy of God's Word open today, look at some of the subtitles on top of the section breaks there. Things about keeping your word, keeping your vows, things about marriage and adultery. It matters to Jesus that we live in right relationship with others, as a reflection of right relationship with Him. When we come into that restored friendship with Him, we want to be like Jesus. When we study Jesus in the Gospels, when we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and we see how Jesus interacts with others, His kindness, His compassion, His tenderness, His forgiveness, His sensitivity, how He reacted to His enemies in light of how they treated Him. The one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness wants to be like that. They want to imitate Jesus. These are people for whom salvation is not just a personal ticket to heaven. They want Jesus embodied and exemplified, fleshed out in their actions and their words, their decisions and their life, because they want Him fully. So righteousness then, friends, it's a right relatedness with God, and it's a right relatedness with others. In fact, let's look further down at what Jesus says in Matthew 5:10. Matthew 5:10, let's read that. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I think if we juxtapose the fourth beatitude and that eighth beatitude that we just read, put them next to each other, we get something like this. We are to hunger and thirst after a noticeable kind of life that might cause some people to persecute us for our lifestyle. Righteousness then is a lifestyle that distinguishes us from the rest of the world as true believers. And as for those who hunger for this kind of righteousness, all unrighteousness grieves them. All unrighteousness grieves them. They're not satisfied with just a personal relationship with Jesus or just social justice. They cry out for both. They cry out for the redemption of the world. You see, the righteous care about integrity in business transactions and in government. The righteous care about honor in home and family affairs. The righteous care about those who live under oppressive governments. The righteous care about the Pipkin student whose only hot meal is the one they will get when they go to school and sometimes will have none over the weekend. The righteous care about the woman who is a silent victim of domestic violence. The righteous care about women and children who are trafficked in slavery around the world. The righteous care about the most vulnerable in our society, unborn babies, the elderly, the mentally ill. The righteous care about the effects of sin in the world, and they want to do something about it. And here at Central, you can live this kind of righteousness. In fact, Pastor Mike alluded to a few ways that you can. You can be a SHAPES mentor. Just an hour a week, you can mentor a child who has an incarcerated parent, and you can make a difference. Be a grandma or a grandpa, a big sister or a big brother to that child. And I've heard phenomenal stories from some of our SHAPES mentors in the congregation. You can make a difference. You can be a Jericho Commission mentor. These are mentors who come alongside a man or a woman who was saved while incarcerated. And statistics show that if they will have a mentor from the church for just 1 year, their faith retention skyrockets. Their ability to transition back into the community successfully and in a healthy manner skyrockets. If you'll just come alongside for 1 year. In fact, today at 4 o'clock in room 222, those who are interested can come find out about being a Jericho Commission. Don't worry. We train you. We walk with you through it. We support you. So if you're interested, check that out at 4 o'clock today. You can be a volunteer at our after-school program for Pipkin Middle School students, our SPIN after-school program. You can volunteer at Boyd and Weaver Elementary. And again, invest in a child's life, just a small commitment each week. You could be a food pantry volunteer, adopt a block, oil change, the list goes on and on. You could join our prayer group, Pray for Rescue, led by Daisy McCrary, bringing prayerful attention to the plight of human trafficking around the world. You can make a difference. You can live the righteousness that God has birthed within you. So what did Jesus mean when he used these two verbs, hunger and thirst, hungering and thirsting? Maybe you're hungry right now. You're already dreaming about your lunch plans. Your stomach is churning. Jesus, listeners, in this chapter, on this day, we're quite literally hungry and thirsty. These were not spiritual metaphors to them. This was the daily grind in Palestine. Owning a well, cultivating a field, these were matters of life and death to them. So when Jesus linked together hunger and thirst for righteousness, he was telling the people that righteousness is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And so for us, this is a picture of how conscious we should be of our spiritual need, even to the point of pain. And maybe if there are circumstances in your life right now causing pain, maybe the Lord has orchestrated those to bring your attention to your spiritual appetite for a longing that must be and can only be filled in relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be in that right relationship with the Lord daily on an ongoing basis. This hunger and thirst continue until satisfied. This hunger and thirst continue until satisfied. And that which we hunger and thirst for is not optional or in addition to other luxuries. Let's jump down in our sermon notes. There's a quote there I'd like to read to you from the late commentator J.N. Darby. To be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what is in his heart toward me. When the prodigal son was hungry, he went to feed on husks. But when he was starving, he turned to his father. To hunger and thirst is to be desperate, to realize my urgent need. But we all know there's a lot of hunger substitutes in a junk food world, aren't there? Let me back up just a minute. I missed a quote. Let me point out that Jesus said we are not to hunger and thirst after blessedness, but after righteousness. We're not to be in pursuit of blessedness, but righteousness. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are truly the happiest and most satisfied people on the face of the earth. And yes, there are a lot of hunger substitutes in our junk food world. I would like to read from 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. 1 John 2, starting at 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So be honest with yourself this morning. What are some ways that right now you're striving to be satisfied? Maybe fame or fortune or a comfortable retirement, a spouse, maybe just a boyfriend or a girlfriend would do right now. Maybe you're pursuing education all you can get, the fulfillment of your dreams, a dream house, a dream car. As nice as those things may be, they really aren't the most important things in life. One commentator said this, and this is going to hurt. This is for believers. This is going to hurt a little. He said, we even turn to the spiritual, scooping up the latest books, shopping for a preacher or a praise band to make us happy, surfing channels for somebody with a miracle up his sleeve. So why is hollowness so rampant and depression such an epidemic? Why is there such a malaise, a sense that something is missing? Why do we ricochet from one relationship to another, one church to another, one restaurant to another, one diversion to another, and still happiness, contentment, and peace just seem out of reach? Friends, we feel empty when we're filling up on the wrong things. Kind of like eating potato chips. I like chips. I like my snacks to crunch, but you know, they only satisfy for a short period, and then you got to go for more, and then you got to get a Coke, and on it goes. We need to hunger for that which truly satisfies. C.S. Lewis said this, we are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. That is why we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. A right relatedness with God that then outflows into a right relatedness with others. This truly satisfies. World War II soldiers recount of their experience at the Battle of the Bulge. Supply lines had been cut off. These men were hungry and cold for days. And they would with each other converse about, oh, their favorite foods and mama's best recipes, and oh, they would dream about what they would eat when they would finally get home, salivating over even the picture of that in their mind. Friends, you know what's interesting about hunger like that? If I was that hungry, I wouldn't be thinking about zucchini. And I wouldn't be thinking about Brussels sprouts or liver, although maybe some of you would. But I would be dreaming about steak, medium rare, or lasagna, or sushi, or red velvet cake with cream cheese frosting. Oh. Wonder what I'm going to eat for lunch today. When you're hungry, really, really hungry, satisfy your cravings with the best and don't be content with less. Start with your Creator, God, and you will be filled. That is the promise of Jesus here. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. They will be given what they desire. And that is the whole gospel right here. We can never fill ourselves. We can never fill ourselves with righteousness. It is a gift freely given from God. And it's interesting. The more we receive, the more we crave. And the more we crave, the more we receive. And Jesus grows sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And I'm looking across a beautiful auditorium here. Men and women of God, many of you have served him and you have walked in this kind of intimate fellowship with him for years and even decades. And it shows. It shows in your countenance. It shows in the way you love others. It shows in the way that you worship and you sacrifice. In proportion to the intensity of our spiritual appetite is the joy of satisfaction. like a full tummy after a Thanksgiving meal. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. Friends, God desires relationship with you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and live among us for 33 years, experience our pain, experience our brokenness. And then he took our brokenness to the cross. And his body was broken and mangled and tortured in a horrible form of execution called crucifixion. And in that moment, he took upon himself all the sin and the depravity and the brokenness of the world, and he paid the price for it. And he offers now abundant life, everlasting life to all of us if we'll just receive this wonderful gift from him. He desires relationship with you just because, not for what you can do for him. I'm reminded of the story, the true story of Elizabeth Smart, a young lady who was abducted from her home a few years back by some very distorted, disturbed, evil people. And in those months of her absence, I can only imagine how she longed for home, longed to be with mom and dad again and her siblings. She wasn't thinking about the chores that were left undone. She wasn't thinking about the dishes that she hadn't done for her parents the night before. No, she was longing to be restored to those who loved her best. And I can only imagine how her parents felt during that time of absence. Worried, sick about her. What had happened to their daughter? What horrible people had taken her? And in that time, they weren't thinking, we got to get that girl home. She's got chores to do. Boy, we miss her contribution around here. No, they were longing for their daughter to come home because they loved her best, because she was theirs. And that's the heart of God for you today. He wants restored relationship with you, not because of what you can do for him. He just loves you and wants intimate friendship and fellowship with you. God doesn't want you to come back because he's got stuff that needs to get done and rules to be kept. He loves you just because you're his. And this was never more clearly demonstrated than at the cross when Jesus rescued us and brought us home. Jesus, the bridge over that great chasm of sin and brokenness and chaos. Jesus. Are you hungry? Are you thirsting for righteousness today? Or have you lost your appetite? I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes. In just a time of prayerful reflection right now with the Holy Spirit, just in this moment of pause, just tune your attention right now to the Holy Spirit and what he may be saying to you. To those of you who are believers, perhaps the Lord is speaking to you right now about re-engaging with those first three Beatitudes. Acknowledging the poverty of spirit, mourning over it, that conditioning then our response to God and others through meekness, so that you truly can experience this fourth beatitude. Maybe to some of you here today, the Lord is saying, yeah, you and I, we're in fellowship with each other. I'd love for you to show that to others. I'd love for you to exhibit that kind of righteousness then to your community, your neighborhood, your workplace. And maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart about a new venture of volunteering or sacrificing or giving of your time or resources so that the love of Christ can be communicated more fully here in the Grant Beach neighborhood or where you live or around the world. Maybe God is speaking to you, believer, about right relatedness with others, those who are closest to you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, and Maybe upon self-examination, you're realizing, Lord, forgive me for words that were not aptly spoken, that were not uplifting. Help me, Lord, now to be meek and ask forgiveness if I need to make things right, make amends. Maybe in this room today, there are those who are not yet followers of Christ, and I'm really glad you're here. Maybe you were invited by a friend. Maybe you just came in and found us on the web or something, and I just so believe that the Lord orchestrated the events of your life today so that you would be here to find out how much He loves you. God eternal loves you. And He wants relationship with you today, not for what you can do for Him, but just because you're His. And He wants you home. So with every head bowed and eye closed, I'm going to ask if there are any here today who would like to be restored in relationship with God. If you would raise your hand today and just say, yeah, I'm mourning over my sin. I see it. I get it. I own it. And I want to repent today of it. And I want the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and to help me have a fresh start. I want to love God from the inside out. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We're going to wait just a moment. There's one young lady. Thank you. Are there any others? There's another and another. Are there more today who would say, yeah, I want to be restored. I don't want anything in the way anymore. I want right relationship with God. I want that kind of freedom. I want that kind of joy. I want to be filled. I don't want to fill up on things that don't satisfy me. Are there any others here today? Okay, congregation, why don't we all pray, family of God, let's all pray together with these three who have indicated that they want restored relationship with Jesus. Dear Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We acknowledge our sin, our spiritual poverty. And Lord, we confess our sins and we mourn over them. And we know that you are our only source of righteousness. You are the perfect Lamb of God who died on the cross for me. And so, Jesus, right now we ask for forgiveness and renewed relationship with you. Thank you. We love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who did raise your hands, we have a new believers room on this side of the lower foyer on the Boonville side, room 122. We'd love to meet you there and help you in your new walk with Jesus, taking those first steps home. And to all of you who are now going out for a great meal, just remember to hunger and to thirst for that which truly satisfies. And that is God Himself. May you feast on the Lord this week. Blessings to all of you.